Today is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. The readings are from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 13, and the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. The message is titled, Almighty God, Cast Your Word. Hear from the prophet Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at the sixth verse. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thought. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Here ends the lesson from Isaiah, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn. And I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the seed along the path. The one who receives the seed that fell on rocky places is like the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since it has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But The one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. The Gospel of the Lord. Again, today's sermon is titled, Almighty God, Cast Your Word. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, cast your word into our midst and cast your word into the streets and byways of this land and across the world. For we need your mighty word to be heard and hearts to repent and turn to your ways. Come, mighty one, and speak to us. Water our souls with your grace as you accomplish your will and purpose in us and across the land. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago it was a really long time ago, when Heather and I attended a worship conference. And it's strange that I don't exactly recall the town that the conference was held in. It was a small town. I think it was outside of Chicago, but it was a small town. I just don't remember where it was. I do remember it was the summer of 2002. And I remember at this conference, there was going to be a breakout session with Paul Baloche. And I remember about this breakout session that you were invited to bring your guitar along with you for this session with Paul Baloche. And conference attendees, they're encouraged to bring their guitars, so I brought my guitar for this time. Now, Paul Baloche, he wrote the song, one of them is Open the Eyes of My Heart, which we sing here at Faith in Christ many times. I brought my guitar along for that worship workshop, and I was looking forward to that time. During that time, Baloche spoke about a variety of things, and it turns out he did more talking than teaching. One thought train he spoke about was what makes good songs as a composer and creator. And he said the words need to match the melody, and the melody really needs to fit the words. An example, he shared the creating the song, composing it above all. It's a song we also have sung here at Faith in Christ several times. He had the melody and most of the words put together. I mean, all those words of looking up with above all power, above all things, above all kingdoms, above all. Yet when it came to the chorus, he was stuck. And if I remember correctly, he had most of the chorus written, but it was missing something. I mean, he was wanting to go up with another image using that word above all. And he has tried that many times, going that direction, above, above. But the feeling was all wrong. The song needed to go somewhere else. The song needed to go down, and he just could not come up with the right words. The chorus begins with crucified, laid behind the stone. You live to die, reject and alone. And then he started humming in the next part because that's the line that was really missing. And then the chorus concludes with, you took the fall and through it all thought of me. You took the fall and thought of me above all. The writer's block, it just stuck there. He just couldn't get around it. And he set the song aside for a while, and then he invited a little while later his friend Lenny LeBlanc to come over and help. And after hearing what Paul Baloche had already composed and written, hearing the above all portion and then the chorus with crucified, the missing phrase would soon be filled. And if I remember correctly, Lenny LeBlanc crafted that line, like a rose trampled on the ground. It's a visual image of a precious rose, a thing of great beauty just being crushed. Like Christ was crushed for our iniquities, like Christ was bruised for us in our sins. That phrase was added. And then hearing that whole song put together, Lenny LeBlanc commented that this song, it's going to be big. Those words, those melodies, that message, they're going to make it big. And especially that phrase, like a rose trampled on the ground, that just made it. Well, the song Above All did become big, winning Dove Awards, covered by many musicians and singers. Michael W. Smith covered it, and his is the most well-known version of Above All, Michael W. Smith. And he was invited in 2001 to play at President Bush's inaugural prayer breakfast. And so he wanted to have a song to play for it, and he was going through listening for things, and he stumbled across the song Above All. And that's what Michael W. Smith chose to sing. Now, he had not memorized the song before. He'd never sang this song Above All in a live performance. So here he was at the inaugural prayer breakfast at the piano, pulling out of his pocket and unfolding the cheat sheets to put in front of him and laid them out on the piano so he could play and sing Above All. He said it felt very unprofessional to do that. Yet, since then, every time he sees, that's Michael W. Smith, sees President Bush, that's the very song the president wants him to play. Paul Baloche, commenting on that in the CCM magazine, presents the 100 greatest songs in Christian music. Paul Baloche said, "I'm humbled and blown away that a simple prayer of worship started at my little piano found its way to the President of the United States. The possibility that this song could be an encouragement to him is such an honor." Words have power. Finding the right words to convey a message. Words, they can carry a message of hate, or they can carry a message of love. Words can cause war, or words can bring peace. Words can cause hurt, or words can heal. Words that are written down, they can be passed on, and they outlive the one speaking the words and the one writing the words. Have you heard of Sequoia? I'm not talking about big giant trees out west that are named after Sequoia, but I mean the man Sequoia. I encourage you to learn about Sequoia. He was born about 1770, somewhere in that decade or so, in Tennessee. He's the son of a Cherokee mother and an English fur trader father, raised in the Cherokee ways, but a hunting accident crippled him. And so he is given the name Sequoia, which means Pigfoot, because he was crippled. It means Pigfoot in Cherokee. You're crippled, you're Sequoia, you're pig's foot. And so he had to deal with that life. Being crippled, what would he do? So he became a silversmith, he became a blacksmith. During the War of 1812, Sequoia enlisted along with other Cherokee to serve with General Andrew Jackson against the British and the Creek. And during that time of war, Sequoia became captivated by the ability of writing. As he watched soldiers write letters home and read written orders, communicating with marks on paper, that just captivated him. The Cherokee knew nothing of that. He knew it would help his people. So he began to craft a written language for the Cherokee. He became obsessed by it. He turned into a recluse as he focused on developing this writing system. After much work and much ridicule, after 12 years of that hard labor, Sequoia, he created 86 symbols to represent the unique sounds of the Cherokee language. 1821, he showed the system to the Cherokee elders, who were amazed. The Cherokee nation adopted the system called a syllabary, and with a few years, thousands of Cherokee had learned to read and write the Cherokee language. Bibles, hymns, pamphlets, education materials, books of all sorts, legal documents, they were all written in and translated into the Cherokee language. Did you notice the Bible was one of them? The word written, the word to learn from. Being people of the word, we can read of the power of words God for ourselves from the Bible. For when God spoke, the power of God's word is such, it happens. In the beginning, when there was nothing, not even nothing, there was still the living God. I mean, it's mind-blowing to consider. In the beginning, there was nothing, and you can't even use the word nothing to describe nothing, because there's nothing but the living God, till God spoke. That's the power of God's word. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, let there be an expanse. And the expanse became, and it was called sky. God said, and he spoke about the water, the land, the plants, the animals. God spoke all of this into existence. The power of God's word. And we hear from Isaiah 55 in a vivid imagery how the word of God is described in great power. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. We have the saying, April showers brings May flowers. We watch the grass grow green when the rain comes after a dry spell. We can see plants perk back up after being watered. I've seen in the plants here that are inside faith in Christ perk back up after I finally remember to water them. You can see pictures of deserts when an unexpected rain has come to the deserts and they just fill with beautiful color of flowers blooming. The power of God's word. God's word will accomplish what it is spoken to accomplish. God's word will achieve its purpose. Do you know the power of God's word? Recall the experience of the disciples in the boat on the stormy sea. Remember what Jesus did? As it's written in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus spoke to the storm, saying, "Quiet, be still." And the storm was gone, completely quiet, completely calm. The disciples wondered aloud, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Recall what Jesus said to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven." And remember the response of the Pharisees in the crowd. They said Jesus was speaking blasphemy, for only God can forgive sins. Jesus turned to them and asked, "What is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up and walk?" So that you know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus then turns and says to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And he did. The paralytic got up, took his mat, and went home at the word of Jesus. Remember the time when Jesus was standing outside of that tomb that they rolled the stone away, and how as smelly as could be. Think about the great wonder that happened when Jesus spoke that word, that short phrase, "Lazarus, come forth." Such power in the words of God. Even with those signs, those wonders, seen with their very eyes, many in the crowds would not believe. Would we believe if we were there as firsthand eyewitnesses? We say, of course we would. But is that the truth in fact? Would we have believed? We heard in today's gospel from Matthew chapter 13, after leaving the house, Jesus went to the lake and sat down. The crowd grew so large, Jesus got into a boat and he cast off from the shore. And sitting that short distance from the boat, in the boat from the shore, Jesus begins to speak. And he speaks in a parable. A parable is a visual word picture. It's a word picture to describe the things of God using the things of this world that we can see or touch. The Greek word for parable is made up of two parts. Para, which means close beside or with, and balo, which means to cast. So the images used for teaching in parables, they take the truth of God and they put it close beside. They cast it with the visual image the parable describes. The parable of the sower contains imagery that's easy to understand. Many would have had firsthand experience with that image of seeds landing on the various places, the kinds of soil or the path. They would have seen birds come and eat the seed after sowing. They would have seen seeds that would quickly grow, but then wilt under the sun's scorching heat. Seen thorns overtake the plants and wearing the seeds down. And it always amazes me when I watch a farmer's field. to see the bounty that comes from a single seed. Each of those plants is a single seed, but there at the end of that plant, on an ear of corn, the next corn stalk that has many ears, or the end of a grain, the head of grain that's grown on wheat, or soybeans and all that. I mean, the seed, from one seed comes so much bounty. It can be 100 or 60 or 30 times the amount of seed sown, as Jesus said in the parable. So these images of the parable of a sower are very familiar. And the truth that Jesus is now expressing of God is brought alongside it. The disciples didn't understand. They had to ask Jesus the meaning. The seed is the message of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, the seed is the word of God. The seed is sown into the hearts of people. Will the seed take root? Will the seed grow and produce bounteously? Three out of the four images, the seed is either snatched away or quickly fades away, or the pressures of life or the things of this world, the desires of this world, crush the growth of the seed. Only one of the images of the four, that's of the good soil, produces and yields much. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 9, "He who has ears, let him hear." The difference is really hearing the word of God. Don't let the word of God go in one ear and out the other. Really listen. Hear with the longing to understand. The Greek word here is akouo. It means to hear with a direction of comprehension. You're hearing, you're comprehending. Figuratively, it means to hear with that inner self, that things of the spiritual that are being spoken here. That is hearing the word of God in such a manner it gives birth to faith in the heart. As written in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard from the word of Christ. This message, the message of forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, it's not a message you all want to hear. The message of Christ crucified and risen, paying the price with his own blood to redeem, is scoffed at and oftentimes scorned. The call to repent and believe falls on deaf ears like the rocky path with the evil one snatching the seed away. Because people don't want to repent. They want to live life their way. And saying, who are you to say, I need to repent and change? Some want the things of this world more than they desire Christ. And so they turn aside from Christ. Some have a hard time holding on to Christ when suffering comes. But you be the good soil that allows, that lets this word of God take hold and grow. Understand the call to repentance and the need to walk in the ways of Christ that come with redeeming grace, that come with a heart transformed from me, myself, and I, reigning to being ruled by the truth and passions of repentance that comes with Christ taking up residence in your heart. And Christ reigning and ruling in your heart is seen by the ability to forgive, ability to show compassion, especially the ability to love even the most loathsome creature. That's producing the crop of 100, 60, or 30-fold. Learning to love as Christ loves. Learning to obey as Christ obeyed the Father. The seed is being sown. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. In these verses from the prophet Isaiah is found the message of the kingdom of God. These verses contain what is also known as the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you hear it? Did you hear of the mercy? Did you hear of God freely pardoning? Did you hear the abundance of compassion and forgiveness? Did you hear of the grace being freely offered? Did you also hear of the call to repent? Did you hear that God can be found? And did you hear that if you call on Him, He will be found? And God is near. Did you hear that? Understand the goodness and great compassion of God for us. Such compassion is so great and so big that the Son of God was sent to pay the redeeming price that brings forgiveness of sins. This is how much the Father loves, how great the Father's compassion is. This is how much the Father desires to show you mercy, to give you compassion, to pour out His grace upon you and pardon you of all of your sins because of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Yet, will the wicked forsake their ways? Will the evil man forsake his thoughts? Will they return to the Lord? No, maybe, yes, maybe, no. We really don't know without sowing the seed of God's word and praying to God that the seed will be planted and take root in the heart of the wicked and the evil too. Pray for the Almighty God. Pray for Almighty God to cast His word into this world in a powerful outpouring of rain to water the earth with His grace. Grace flowing in such power, so full of mercy and compassion, that every heart is watered with His word, that every heart will bud and grow and flourish in faith, that the pine tree and the myrtle tree will grow, overcoming thorn bush and briars. Pray for that to happen. Pray for Almighty God to cast His word into our hearts. Almighty God, cast Your word into our hearts and into our families. Almighty God, cast Your word into the streets and across this land and around the world. For Your word, O Lord, is needed. Your word, O Lord, is the only power that can confront the growing rebellion and destruction and evil that is spreading across this land and around the world. As Jesus said on the seashore years ago, the people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Cast Your word, great God, so that even these may see with Your eyes. Cast Your word, Almighty God, that even these ears will hear. Almighty God, cast Your word so we and they and all people may understand in our heart and turn and repent and turn to You. Then bring about what Your great word has also spoken when You said, I would heal them. Yes, Almighty God, cast Your word and bring the healing. Bring the healing grace. Bring the forgiveness. Bring the power of Your love. Father, sow the seed of Your word and bestow Your grace that all whose souls the truth receive, its saving power may know. Yes, Father, let all people come to know the saving power in Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.